Oh boy, is this gonna be great! Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what we got done on our morning show.
It'll be something.
5:30 to 10, that's when you can hear us on Planet 93.9, Real Alternative Radio. Top 5 Things podcast is brought to us by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, they are the only locally owned dispensary. Two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. They're open 7 days a week. And they got some big goings-on coming soon.
Yeah, so 420 this year is on a Saturday. Yeah. How about that? And it's a palindrome.
I know.
420, 24, and they are going to be celebrating all weekend long at Nature's Treatment of Illinois at the locally owned and operated location in Milan on Saturday, 420 from noon to 6. It is the 420 Festival. Live music, food trucks, beer tents, wine tasting, wine samples, raffles, and giveaways. It's happening on Friday and Saturday, April 19th and 20th.
It's the place to be.
Yeah, for sure. And now, the top five things. We'll start with number one.
Number one.
One.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one. And this should be obvious.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
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 Number one.
Darren, animals do the darndest things.
It's true.
And we love to chronicle their hilarious exploits on a segment we call Dave and Darren's
Animal Farm.
Just imagine if chatting with a cheetah chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be.
Joining us, as always, the delightful and charming old Uncle Darren.
Hello, little snot-nosed Davey.
Oh, I can't wait to hear these stories. I love the Animal Farm, Farmer Darren. It's not Farmer Darren. Oh, what better we do it now?
Yeah.
Animal Farm.
Farm, not barn.
No, he's Uncle Darren for the next couple of minutes.
Right.
Oh, sorry. We haven't done this bit forever.
Get it straight, snot nose.
It's true. It's true. A couple of Florida animals to talk about. Of course we
sure.
do.
And makes all the sense in the world.
This might be the most Florida sentence you hear us utter all week long on the show. An alligator found living behind a former Coca-Cola plant in Florida has been put on a strict diet to lose some of its over 400 pounds.
Daddy calls it sugar muscle.
That gator just helps himself to all the leftover syrup. 9-foot gator has been relocated from the grounds of a former Coca-Cola plant in Temple Terrace, Florida, after neighbors raised concerns about a damaged fence around the retention pond.
Uh-huh.
Gator was taken to Croc Encounters, where veterinarians decided to put the 400-pound reptile on a diet. The director of Croc Encounters is one John Panner, and he tells WFLA-TV, quote, "That's a little heavy for that animal."
Heavy duty. Beefy.
Neighbors living near the plant said some locals had been feeding the gator, which they have nicknamed Coca-Cola. That's Coca-Cola the gator on account of how he lives by the former Coca-Cola plant. The Goliath gator was reportedly served lunch meat and hams near my residence.
Full hams?
Four hams will fill him. Four hams will thrill him. Why don't you feed him four hams? Yeah, the alligator's new diet will be more well-suited to his species. The gators there at Croc Encounters get a mix of pellet diet, also sometimes fish, and sometimes feed chicken. Hopefully this will slim down Coca-Cola, the 400-pound gator. Meanwhile, a Florida pet raccoon has been named this year's Cadbury Bunny. The Cadbury Bunny for 2024 is actually a raccoon named Louie. He is the first raccoon ever to earn the title of Cadbury Bunny. Company announcing that Louie the Raccoon, a 2-year-old pet raccoon from Miami, Florida, was the winner of the 6th annual Cadbury Bunny Tryouts.
What a world.
And will have a role in the 2025 Cadbury Bunny Tryouts commercial, which has become something of an Easter tradition for the brand. Louie's owner rescued him in 2021 when he was deemed unfit to live in the wild.
I won't make it.
I can't.
I can't.
It's the jungle out there, I tell you. I'll never make it. You gotta help me. Take me in. The raccoon won the hearts and voters on Instagram with his friendly face and his special skill, creating paintings that are sold to benefit wildlife rescue and rehab centers. That's a talented raccoon. Congratulations. And we have a story of a Florida deputy who removed a snake from under a car hood. Florida sheriff's deputy conducted an unusual animal rescue when a resident discovered a snake under the hood of the car. Boy, that's you hate to do that. You pop open the hood and there's a snake. The only other place worse to find them, of course.
Is that a gate?
That would be the gate, exactly.
There's a big snake hanging right on top of the gate.
Lee County Sheriff's Office. How do we know Lee County?
From Starbucks.
Lee County Sheriff's Office says here in a Facebook post that Sergeant James Van Pelt responded to a Lehigh Acres, Florida home when a resident reported a 15 to 20-foot python was entangled in the engine compartment of their car.
That's asking for it.
Van Pelt is not only a member of the Lee County Sheriff's Office, he is also a state-licensed python contractor.
This is what happened to the snake. They call me Van Belt.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's right.
When Van Pelt arrived at the home, he discovered that the snake was much smaller than reported. It was not a 20-foot python. It was actually a red rat snake. The snake was soaking up heat in the engine bay. They carefully removed it, and the snake was then released in a nearby wooded area. Is the snake going to be all right, Uncle Darren?
Snake's fine, Snotnose.
Another Florida, and all of these stories are Florida animal stories. What's going on? A dog digging in a yard in Florida unearths a decades-old military bomb. Baby the dog was playing in a yard in Jacksonville when she unearthed a metallic
object.
Oh,
I don't want to be Baby the dog.
Matthew Sims of Jacksonville says his dog Baby was playing in the yard when she unearthed a metallic object next to the garage. Why can't I unearth
no
a bomb?
No bomb, backs Baby in a corner.
He tells WJXT-TV in Jacksonville, quote, "You couldn't tell what it was until you started pulling it up. Once I got it halfway out, I was like, oh, I know what this is.
Once I pulled the pin.
Let me gently put this back down." Yeah, the object was about a foot long and weighed around 10 pounds. He called the Jacksonville police, and the bomb squad responded to examine this discovery. Police say the object was an old, unexploded piece of military ordnance, likely buried for decades based on its state of decay. All the homes in the neighborhood were evacuated before the bomb squad hauled the object away. Origins of the antique bomb remain unclear at this time. Is Baby the dog gonna be all right, Uncle Darren?
Baby's fine.
Yes. Wildlife officials in Oregon say a wolverine was spotted walking down the highway.
That's a good look. That is a that's a nice haircut.
Wildlife officials say this wolverine wandered away from its usual habitat and made its way down the coastline in Oregon. The Department of Fish and Wildlife there says wolverine sightings have been verified during the past week. Officials say wolverines are common across Canada and Alaska. They are only rarely sighted in Oregon after they were all kicked out in 1936.
You're out of here. Get out of here.
That's a thing you can do? So there were wolverines in Oregon. They kicked them out of the state in 1936.
Now you're gone.
Are the wolverines going to be all right?
Wolverines are fine, Snotnose.
Yeah, dispersing animals regularly travel through diverse landscapes while looking for a new home, the Department of Wildlife says. It doesn't mean we're going to have a wolverine population set up shop anytime soon. Wolverines are legally protected in Oregon. No hunting or trapping of these animals is allowed.
Huh.
Well, that's good to hear. So the wolverine's going to be all right? Yeah, I swear we just told you that.
Established, yes.
Yeah, no, the wolverine's going to be fine. A ostrich escaped from a zoo in South Korea and ran through traffic. The male ostrich named Tadori escaped from the Bug City Zoo there in Seoul. Was seen running through busy streets before being cornered and safely recaptured in a parking lot of a storage building. Running through a busy road before it was recaptured. The zoo's owner says Tadori the ostrich somehow squeezed through a narrow gap between fences at the facility. Ostrich had been displaying signs of loneliness and anxiety since his mate died a month earlier.
Where's Tadori?
Yeah, these two, the mate's name was Tasuni. Tasuni and Tadori both arrived at the Bug City Zoo when they were chicks in July of 2020. Tadori is now said to be resting and recovering in his enclosure. So you got to get that that ostrich a girlfriend. And finally, a baby hedgehog got rescued. This is in Cheshire, England. A woman rescued an abandoned baby hedgehog and took it to the local animal hospital where veterinarians took a good look at it and discovered that what she had
was not a hedgehog,
was not in fact a baby hedgehog, but a pom-pom from somebody's winter cap. The Lower Mosswood Nature Reserve and Wildlife Hospital says here in a Facebook post that the kind soul rescued what she thought was a baby hedgehog who was, in her words, very shy.
And soft.
Mm-hmm. She brought it to the animal hospital, concerned that it hadn't moved or pooped all night long.
It doesn't do anything.
Veterinarians informed the woman that she'd actually rescued a pom-pom from the top of someone's beanie hat. They say this was an older lady in her 60s or 70s, well-spoken and well-meaning.
Well, can I keep it?
She could see that something on the roadside that looked like a hedgehog. And they say from a distance, you could take it at face value. She didn't handle it at all.
Let's not encourage her.
She scooped it up in a box and then left it with some cat food and left it alone in a warm, dark place.
And she's still going to do that.
They say she did everything right. She barely peeked at it because she didn't want to stress out the baby hedgehog.
No.
Which she didn't.
No, she did not.
Uh-huh. The animal hospital says this woman is to be praised. Quote, remember, kindness knows no bounds, even when it's to a faux furry friend. That's well said.
I had a buddy who had a dead bat in a Filet-O-Fish box and forgot that he did.
How long did he forget about it?
He eventually figured out something's going on.
Is the dead bat going to be all right?
Yeah.
What kind of question is that? That's Dave and Darren's.
I call him Tartar.
Animal Farm!
Animal Farm!
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Hey, we haven't done this in a while. I wanted to give you the hero of the day. And when you hear this story, it's a very, I think, unlikely hero.
Okay.
But maybe that's the hero we need the most.
Okay.
In these troubled times.
Yes.
I love everything about this story. I love how it ends.
Yeah.
It's a TikTok video. Reading here from the New York Post, a TikTok video that sounds like the unhinged plot of a reality TV show. A dad influencer. That's somebody that just is on their phone all the time telling everybody what a great dad they are. These dad influencers. It's like you've got an account. It's like, I'm a dad. I do dad stuff. Here's how to be a good dad like me. Look at what a great dad I am. Okay. That's a red flag. Dad influencer sharing how his mother allegedly ruined he and his wife's gender reveal. A gender reveal that they spent $9,000 on. Candace and Wesley are influencers.
Okay, so they're young.
Yes.
Relatively.
Well, you'd have to be young to think this is an acceptable way to live your life, being a dad and mom influencer.
Well, I mean, they're still having children.
Yes. Candace and Wesley are influencers known for their candid videos about family life, including their adventures with twins and the anticipation of their new arrival. They recently planned a gender reveal party that cost $9,000.
So the mom's going to turn out to be the hero of the day.
You see where this is going.
Yeah.
You've already figured it out.
Uh-huh.
They planned a gender reveal party that cost a hefty $9,000. Wesley was excited to finally afford a lavish event like this with money that he makes as a dad influencer. The drama started about a week prior to the event. As Wesley explains in this TikTok video, he got a text conversation between Candace and her mother-in-law. So his wife and his mom are having a text conversation.
Yes.
And this text exchange goes south. The mother-in-law, his mom, right, mm-hmm. offers to help with the party. But Candace, the mom, the younger one, she politely declines. We've got it. We don't need any help. I'm organizing it with my sisters and my mom. They all live out of state, and they want to be involved. So thank you for your offer.
But
for
it's
help.
A tight circle.
We've
here.
Got this. Exactly. As a consolation for the mother-in-law, who is clearly offended, Candace writes here in the text exchange, "We might need help setting up on the day if you can get there around 2:30.
You know, chairs. If you want to do some, like, you know, stage work.
So they're throwing this $9,000 gender reveal party.
And if you're up for some manual labor.
Well, this is where the text message gets delicious.
Okay.
So the pregnant mom with the mother-in-law says here in the text exchange, "We might need help setting up on the day if you can get here at 2:30. Like, she thinks she's throwing out an olive branch.
Yeah.
The mother-in-law responds, "Am I getting paid?"
Nice.
Candace got confused and asked her mother-in-law why she thought she'd be getting paid for helping out, especially since she offered to help.
Yeah.
The mother-in-law says, "Because I'm not your effing maid." Candace then bursts into tears and runs into the room where Wesley was.
Yeah.
She goes, "Look at how your mother's treating me." Wesley says, "There was a grand total of zero people that is ever going to cuss out my wife."
Ooh. That's a dad tip.
He then made a 10-second phone call to his mother saying, "You will never, Mom, you will never speak to my wife that way again.
Huh.
And you have been uninvited
to it.
To the $9,000 gender reveal party that we're throwing."
Okay.
He then hung up the phone on his own mother
and
blocked her number.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And I know what you're saying. Well, that's an unfortunate fight between family members.
Yeah.
How is this woman today's hero of the day? Because that's not where the story ends, friends.
Uh-huh.
As the party approached, Michelle's attempts to make amends and secure an invitation were denied by the couple. The mother-in-law keeps reaching out saying, "I'm sorry, I'd like to be there." Yeah. But they continue to block her.
Uh-huh.
Wesley tells his mom, "We appreciate your apologies, but you crossed the line and you are not coming to this party."
Okay.
The big day arrives. Michelle makes one last ditch attempt to get back into their good books.
Yeah.
But Wesley tells her, quote, "I'm not going to feel bad because you talked to my wife in a way you shouldn't have." Michelle, the mother-in-law, and the mom.
Yeah.
The mom then responds to this guy. The text back is, quote, "Okay, I have no choice then."
Okay. If that's your final answer.
I love this.
If that's your final answer.
I have no choice then.
I wonder if
I didn't want to do this.
What is he thinking now?
Oh, man.
What do you mean? I have no choice.
Oh, you messed up. I have no choice then.
Uh-huh.
So then so it's like, well, what could that mean?
You're right.
$9,000 wedding. $9,000 gender reveal party starts. Everyone started to enjoy themselves.
Uh-huh.
But 30 minutes right before the actual reveal part of the party,
uh-huh.
Candace has a change of heart.
Oh.
And says to her husband, invite your mother. This party is going so great. We really should have your mom here.
I'm willing to back down.
So
here's the opening she needed.
So she texts the mom and says,
please come over.
Please come. So she says, oh, I'll be at the party. They begin the countdown for the gender reveal. Not wanting to wait any longer. Couple starts their 60-second countdown before they would reveal the gender and unload the confetti cannon. Will it be pink or blue confetti?
Let me guess.
At second 13, someone pulls the fire alarm. Wesley says, quote, I'll never forget second 13. The entire venue where they were throwing the party is plunged into darkness, and the sprinkler system is activated.
Wow.
Guests scramble outside and wait for the fire department to arrive. Guess who's in the parking lot? Quote, nonchalantly smoking a cigarette amidst the chaos. Just having a smoke.
Yeah.
Immediately, the couple approached her for answers. She denied any involvement, saying the whole thing was just a terrible, unfortunate coincidence. Isn't that the best?
Well, and I thought she was going to maybe even take it another step.
Yeah.
In that, the mother somehow knows and shows up in an all pink or an all blue, light blue outfit.
And writes, it's a Sharpie on her, writes, it's a boy in Sharpie on her forehead. Okay. We've spoken at great length about how exhausting the very concept of a gender reveal party is. I don't want to revisit that. It's ridiculous. But if you went to one of these things, which you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
And they were like, okay, we're all going to count down from 60?
Can't we do it from 10?
Are you out of your mind? I get it. You have a couple people over in the backyard, you pull a confetti cannon. That I get.
I'll never forget. Second 13.
Second 13 changed. They go out there and she's just having a heater. Oh, is that party today? I guess I didn't know.
See, I didn't know that they were having it at a place.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah.
Well, that's part of the $9,000 that they spent.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. There would be a, then you could pull a fire alarm.
Oh, why is everybody so wet? You guys all look like you've been running through the sprinklers. By the way, everybody, it's a boy.
Do you like my all blue outfit?
Somehow she's got it figured out so she can blow either pink or blue smoke out of her mouth. It's a girl, by the way.
Three. All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
I've got a story here that screams Florida, and yet it's from Pennsylvania.
Weird.
I had to triple check this to make sure that it is, in fact, the Keystone State and not the Sunshine State.
Mm-hmm. Keystone Light State.
The headline says it all. Banana fight in a Pennsylvania gas station leads to charges for one employee.
Banana fight?
That's right. Banana fight.
Bananas.
Gas station banana fight. That's the name of my new album.
Do you know what they make reference to? Have you heard this now? This is something that I've been hearing concerning basketball, the college basketball for the most part. Mm-hmm. And not so much that I heard it before they even started with the tournament.
Good Lord, man. And this is, you heard this? I'm floored. Is anybody getting this down?
Do you know what they're talking about when they're talking about college basketball and they describe the game as a rock fight?
No.
It's basically when no one can make a basket.
That's great.
It's like when both teams are just...
We're just watching a rock fight
it's
here.
It's just basically... They're not throwing up, you know, inflated basketballs.
Uh-huh.
This is a rock fight.
See, rock fight to me, it sounds like it's a tough Scrabble.
Yeah, it's...
You know, they're getting chippy out there.
Yeah, right.
No. Rock fight just means nobody can make a basket.
No one can make a basket.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's the thing I learned today. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, this is a real rock fight. This fight that began with bananas being thrown inside a Pittsburgh gas station led to one person being hospitalized.
Ugh, you don't want that.
Bananas.
And a clerk facing charges. This incident happened at the Sunoco on North Craig Street in Pittsburgh on Monday. The fight began when a customer threw a banana at the gas station employees.
Like, I'm going to buy this?
Who then threw it back. The customer and staff then began throwing multiple bananas back and forth.
Well, let's not do this.
What is this, Donkey Kong Country? Customer then punched one of the workers in the face. Employee Yubarj Budhatoki of Pittsburgh then chased the customer into the parking lot and hit him several times in the head with a piece of PVC pipe. Don't bring a banana to a PVC pipe fight.
Is what? That's the lesson.
Come on. The customer is currently hospitalized and still in critical condition.
Critical?
Yes. They're saying this guy who got pummeled with the pipe is not facing any charges, even though, according to all accounts, he's the one that started the banana fight.
Banana.
I don't know. I've just got a mental block about this. I buy bananas.
Yeah.
And I buy fruit.
Yes.
I've got a mental block about buying it at a convenience store.
Yeah.
I don't.
You know?
I buy it at the grocery store.
It's... I've
just got a mental block about it.
I have the same problem when I'm at Quickstar and I see that they got, like, but yeah. Quickstar sells a lot of bananas.
Yeah, they sell bananas. And sometimes
it's at a really good price.
And sometimes they're at an excellent price. They, yes. They might have them for like 29 cents a pound
yes.
or something.
But here's the issue. I already got bananas at my place. I don't need to buy more.
I just don't pick up, or an apple, or onions. You know what? I did buy some potatoes from a convenience store, so I'm...
Okay. That's well, that's the exception that proves the rule, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Everybody was losing their mind this week because Trader Joe's increased the price of a banana for the first time in 20 years.
Really?
Yeah. Bananas are always 19 cents at Trader Joe's. They increased the price of the banana to 23 cents.
Huh.
And people went out of their minds. Again, they haven't raised the price of a banana in more than 20 years.
19 cents, that's a good price.
23 cents is a good price, too,
yes,
though.
Yes, it is.
This is the thing about bananas that drives me crazy. This is where my mental block is. When I look at all the bananas, and I see, let's say it's going for, you know, 25 cents a pound. Let's call it that.
Yeah.
And I think, for this fruit to be here,
yeah.
Think of how much work went into harvesting this.
Getting it
transporting
here.
It here. How are bananas that cheap?
Because there's a lot of bananas.
That's the secret, huh? There's
bananas.
Well, the only use I have for bananas is letting them get old and turning them into banana bread. But my wife goes into, she has a banana a day. She's nuts for them. Crazy for them.
Yeah, she's always eating bananas.
Yeah, no, they're super healthy for you. It's a good thing to eat. But every time I think it, when I think about the price of bananas, sometimes I just go down to this hole in my head where I think,
how could it be that?
This doesn't make any sense. It's not like these things were grown in East Moline.
No, they weren't.
These things had to make quite a journey. And there you go. We have people losing their minds. This banana fight. The guy that works at the gas station charged with aggravated assault and recklessly endangering another person, he's in the Allegheny County Jail. Mm. If he had just stuck with bananas, everything would have been fine. Well, I mean, probably not fine. You'd probably get in trouble for throwing bananas at customers. Even if they start the banana fight, you probably shouldn't reciprocate.
No.
But that's not the kind of thing that they teach in the training there at the Sunoco. You know, just never comes up.
So someone's has been charged.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy who started the banana fight is the customer. He's not being charged on account of how he's not awake because he got pummeled in the head with a PVC pipe.
I wonder if this will end up in an appellate court.
A banana case with an appeal. I see what you're doing there, Darren. I think it's marvelous. And I'm awarding you this week's ultimate zing.
The ultimate zing.
They caught the guy. You would have thought they would have given him the slip. Okay. All right.
Get ready for the crickets.
Four.
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 A get-rich-quick scheme.
Those are the best.
Well, usually I think they're terrific. I've come up with quite a few of them myself.
If you don't have any sort of patience,
This
is for you.
Yeah, this is the thing. You want to get rich quick.
I want it fast and I want it weird.
Yes, exactly. How do I get money now?
Money, please.
A guy was persuaded by a friend of his to get his legs amputated in a $1.3 million insurance scam.
You know, all we got to do,
if we just cut off your legs, you could make so much money off of that.
Money, please.
This is in Taiwan. A student had his legs amputated to claim $1.3 million in insurance payouts.
Where do you find a doctor that's going to do that?
Well,
yeah, we can do that.
Don't even need a reason. He's been arrested now on suspicion of fraud. 23-year-old named Zhang plunged his feet in a bucket of dry ice for more than 10 hours so that they would be so badly frostbitten he would need a double amputation.
Oh, man.
Again, this was not his idea. It was a buddy's idea.
Well, I'm the ideas guy around here.
Zhang's friend from high school, identified only as Liao, persuaded him to carry out the insurance scam. What's in it for Liao?
I'm just looking out for you, buddy.
Liao, who's the same age as this kid, they're both 23, suffered losses from trading crypto, and he tricked Zhang into signing a legal note obligating him to pay $800,000 of the $1.3 million. Listen, I need money.
To get even.
I need money. You need money. What would you say if I came up with a way for you to make $1.3 million, and I'll be getting $800,000 of it for crypto purposes?
Just sign here.
Yes. Liao told Zhang that gangsters were pursuing him. On January 26th of last year, the two of them rode around Taipei on a motorbike at night so that they could present the claim that Zhang was afflicted with frostbite while riding on the bike late at night. Just days before, Zhang bought several expensive policies for life insurance, travel insurance, and accident insurance. After their motorbike ride, Zhang soaked his feet in dry ice and was admitted to the hospital. But medical staff, something was amiss while they were asking him questions. His legs had no shoe or sock marks, and the injuries appeared to be completely symmetrical, which is inconsistent with how frostbite looks when it happens to you. Also, the weather on the night that they went around on the motorcycle ride to get the frostbite, nowhere close to below freezing. It never got colder than 42 degrees. So, yeah, they had some questions. Taiwan is a subtropical region. Cases of severe frostbite that require amputation are unheard of in Taiwan. Because, again, the climate would make it nearly impossible to even get frostbite in the first place.
What is something that you couldn't convince this guy to do?
Zhang's legs were amputated below the calf due to his frostbite injuries. The case was immediately reported to the authorities. When police investigated Zhang and Liao in November, They found the plastic bucket that was used to freeze Zhang's feet, plus insurance documents, a white polystyrene box for dry ice, 8 cell phones, a tablet computer as well. These two jokers both got arrested on January 17th and are charged with fraud and aiding and abetting serious injury. By the way, this kid did not really understand how his insurance policies worked. He was under the impression that his payday would be $1.3 million. Uh-huh. Actual payday, $7,200. And all of that money has been seized. Cut off both of his legs for what ended up being $7,200, and you don't get a penny of that, and now you're in trouble and you're going to jail.
And I can't walk it off.
No, literally or figuratively, no. Some insurers and authorities are saying that rates of insurance fraud are rising after the height of the pandemic. In London, England, the Insurance Fraud Enforcement Department said reported cases of opportunistic fraud, that's when somebody tries to fake an injury or exaggerate a claim, from March of 22 to April of 23, they say in London, England, people doing insurance fraud surged 61%. In February, South Korea had to change their law for the prevention of insurance fraud to punish offenders more severely, because so much insurance fraud was going on. Now you're looking at 10 years in prison or a fine of $37,000. And the FBI here in America estimates that $400 to $700 of your insurance premium,
yeah,
the insurance premium your family is paying, mm-hmm, $400 to $700 of that goes just to cover insurance fraud costs.
That they got
to
make up.
Yes. So not only are these dummies cutting off their legs, it's costing you money. You're right, though. First of all, this is a very definition of what a bad friend is. And what would he have said no to? None of it makes any sense.
Number five. Number five.
Livonia, Michigan. Ever been?
No, I don't think so.
It's a suburb of Detroit. The actress Judy Greer is from there.
Who's Judy Greer?
She's, I believe, Kitty on Arrested Development, the one that's always taking off her shirt.
Yes, okay.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan. Let me see. Who else is from there? Professional hockey player, Hall of Famer Mike Modano.
What's the name of the town?
The name of the town is Livonia, Michigan.
Livonia.
It's there in Wayne County, a western suburb of Detroit. They say it's about 20 miles northwest of downtown Detroit. Okay. Livonia, named after Livonia, New York, a town where people had left Livonia, New York, and moved to Michigan, and they thought, well, let's just name it the town, the same town that we had in New York, which seems weird.
Let's just keep it easy.
Like, you left for a reason. I don't understand. Livonia, Michigan is in the news this morning because of something that happened at the Outback Steakhouse. A 12-year-old was accidentally served the adult version of a strawberry daiquiri.
Uh-huh.
He had ordered a virgin strawberry daiquiri, but they accidentally put rum in it. The preteen said he knew something was wrong because his drink didn't taste normal.
You're drinking these all the time, huh? It's like that's all that
kid... This doesn't taste right.
That's all that kid wants to do.
Kid just loves going to Outback Steakhouse and drinking virgin strawberry daiquiris.
He's a handful.
That seems like a weird thing to have on your menu. For anyone, let alone children.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be kind of a pricey drink for a child.
There's that, too.
You know, as opposed to, you know what, how about you just have a glass of water or maybe have a Coke.
Fox 2 News in Detroit spoke to this kid who said he knew something was wrong because his drink didn't taste normal. The daiquiri contained rum, And this kid took a few big swallows of it before he got what he tells Fox 2 Television, quote, a funny feeling.
No, you did not.
He says his head started to hurt and his heart was racing. The family says they immediately asked the server to confirm the mistake with the bartender.
Yep, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
The restaurant apologized and comped their meal. Outback Corporate releasing a statement saying, quote, we take this situation very seriously and are thankful that the child involved was not seriously harmed. We have taken the appropriate disciplinary action and all our bar and staff has been retrained.
Listen, I made a mistake.
Uh-huh. As a precaution, the family took the kid to the hospital where he was given Tylenol and told to rest. The family reports that this 12-year-old was hungover the next day.
Oh, come on. How about here's a couple glasses of water? Hungover.
I'm hanging, man. Oh, they didn't give me the virgin strawberry daiquiri, and boy, I'm feeling it. Outback Steakhouse, isn't their whole identity that there's no rules at the Outback Steakhouse? Yeah, this family.
Did you know that going in?
This family is said to be regulars at the restaurant. And this kid always gets the virgin strawberry daiquiri. Quote, it didn't taste like how when I had it the other times. It didn't taste normal. You got to get me to a hospital. The unusual flavor this kid was tasting was, in fact, rum. The restaurant did not make them pay for the meal and apologized.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Yeah, he was diagnosed. This kid's name is Michael. He was taken to the hospital and diagnosed with accidental exposure to alcohol and accidental ingestion. His grandma, who took him to Outback Steakhouse, says, I did not want him to have an alcoholic experience this way. Retraining the bar staff. To retrain?
This is the retraining. This is how that goes. Don't put rum in virgin daiquiris.
Everybody sit down. We're going to
go over. Stupid idea to even have virgin daiquiris. I get it.
Yeah, maybe don't have that on the menu at all.
Yeah.
You know what 12-year-olds can drink? Water.
How about some
milk,
water?
Pop. End of list. There you go. It's good enough for everybody else.
Don't offer it up.
You know, I got a 12-year-old at table 6 that wants a couple of virgin shots of tequila. Do we have anything like that?
He says he's here on business.
He's had a long day.
Yeah, a couple of virgin shots of tequila.
I'm here on business. Give me a pitcher of O'Doul's and I'll take a. Do you have any virgin whiskey?
I'll have a virgin blooming onion.
When I was a kid, it was a lot of fun when we would be at the bowling alley all day long over the weekends. It was a lot of fun to go and buy a Shirley Temple and drink it at the bar. In retrospect, like, you couldn't get away with that nowadays. But they'd have the Bears game on, and I'd just sit at the bar while my parents bowled.
Well, the candy cigarettes were more prevalent then, too.
It's true.
You know?
It's true. Although, I'll say this, with all the cigarette smoke that was going on at the bowling alley.
Well, that's true.
I didn't need candy cigarettes.
That's true.
And you got like a dollar from your folks, right? Shirley Temple cost 75 cents. You learn to give him the extra quarter. And I'm just going to sit here and get sick on grenadine is what I'm going to do.
And I'm going to tell you about my problems. Well, I tell you what. They are busting my hump in third grade.
I'll tell you what. I'm sitting here drinking these Shirley Temples, and I'm ordering more and more as Neil Armstrong's Chicago Bears continue to disappoint me.
Yeah. I think this Walter Payton's going to be okay, but they got nothing else.
I can't believe Vince Evans is still in this game as many times as he's been knocked out. Set him up, Joe. Set him up. Give me one for my baby and one for the road. And by my baby, I mean my baby brother. He's right here.
He's right here.
Yeah.
Don't look at him.
Shirley Temples. But at least a Shirley Temple isn't something that you could accidentally put booze in.
I don't think there is a boozed version of a Shirley Temple. Maybe there is. But yeah, you were in training.
That's called the Shirley Booth.
Yes. Give me another Hazel.
It's a shot of pledge.
We're all out of pledge. We got end dust. That's fine.
Don't ever tell a third grader he's had enough to drink. Set him up. Little ginger ale, splash of grenadine. And hey, where's the maraschino cherry?
Right.
What are we doing here? They also call it in some places, and I guess this is a Midwest thing. It's known as a Shirley Temple across the United States, but in the Midwest, I'm told, they call it Kitty Cocktail.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I'll have a couple of Kitty Cocktails, if you please.
Yeah.
Something that's just saccharine
it's
sweet.
Kitty Cocktail Hour.
This is dry. Good work, Joe.
This drink is as dry as your sense of humor.
Ooh, we got a spelling test on Tuesday, and I'm worried about it. Can I bend your ear for a moment? Playing kickball, and, well, you know how it is.
We're multiplying fractions, and I don't understand how you can take a whole number, multiply it by something, and it comes out less than what it started.
So I says to the guy, I says, I don't know how diagramming sentences is going to pay off in the real world.
And he told me it won't.
More kitty cocktails, if you please.
For everyone.
Text lines 563-223-8355 letting us know that there is a drink called a Dirty Shirley.
Oh, okay.
A Dirty Shirley, you add vodka or rum to a Shirley Temple.
I don't see why you couldn't.
Uh-huh. And if you use a dark rum, that's called a Shirley Temple Black.
Oh, okay, because that was her name.
That was her name when she got married, yeah. Right. Wasn't she like an ambassador for a lot of years, like as an adult?
To like England?
Is that what it was?
Was she an ambassador to England?
Shirley Temple Black, right? Wasn't she like a...
A U.S. ambassador to England?
Is that that's what we gave her the... No, Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia.
Even better.
Yeah.
Well. Appointed by President George H.W. Bush. She was the only, first and only woman in this job. She was there.
Did she break up the country?
She was there when the Czech Republic, yeah. Wow, I had no idea. She was there.
She masterminded the whole thing.
She was present during the Velvet Revolution, which brought about the end of communism in Czechoslovakia. Wow. She accompanied Havel on his first official visit to Washington. They traveled on the same plane.
Huh.
I had no idea.
She's still with us?
No, she's been gone a while. Shirley Temple Black died in 2014.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's Dave and Darren's top five things.
It is brought to you by Nature's Treatment. Make sure that you sign up for your medical cannabis card through leafwell.com and receive coupons and discounts. Nature's Treatment has the largest menu in Illinois and offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, edibles, and more.
Don't forget the 420 Festival happens Saturday, April 20th from noon to 6 with live music from Ten of Soul, food trucks, beer tents, wine tasting, wine samples, raffles, and giveaways, plus doorbusters starting at 6 a.m.
Get there early.
While supplies last. That's the top five things. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Okay, bye, stop making noise.
All right, show's over, I'm tired.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.